Welcome to a podcast of Beyond the Book, a presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center. Copyright Clearance Center is the world's largest provider of copyright compliance solutions through a wide range of innovative licensing services and comprehensive educational programs for authors, publishers, and their audiences in academia, business, and research institutions. For more information about Beyond the Book and Copyright Clearance Center, please go to www.beyondthebook.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll start by just giving 2 seconds on Thomson Reuters and who we are so you can understand the perspective from which we come. Thomson Reuters is the world's leading provider of intelligent information. It's a company with revenues of over $13 billion. It's a global business, and we specialize in providing business information to some very specific verticals, healthcare and scientific, law and legal, tax and accounting, of course, financial services, and media services. So we have 2,500 journalists around the world who are producing millions of stories and headlines and pictures and videos every day. And I, in particular, come from the media division where we publish under our own brand, Reuters.com. That's the flagship consumer brand, which is predominantly advertising supported. The bulk of our business is subscription oriented. So we have a long heritage delivering paid for content services into the professional business community. When we talk about mobile internally, we think about it beyond the device, and I just wanted to share some of the definitions that we use internally to help give you a perspective of how we think about it. Mobile is the ability for a customer to access their information anywhere, anytime, across multiple devices that can speak to each other. It's a device that a customer always carries with them and that we increasingly start to think of as the personal control panel or remote control for their life. I actually happen to like the vision that's painted in the latest Palm Pre TVC, if you've seen that, which demonstrates somebody managing all aspects of their life from a handheld device. I think that's the way we start to think about what role the information that we're providing has for people in that context. And beyond anything else, it's the most personal device that people are leveraging. So we need to understand how the professional requirements mesh with the consumer requirements, the family's requirements, the individual's requirements, and everything that goes along with that. When we look at how the platforms evolved, I'm sure you've all seen this chart or guises of this chart before, but essentially where we see the whole space now is really being about the application platform that's enabled. And that's, for us, the most significant of recent developments and the one that presents both the most opportunity and the most challenges for us. The real change is not the device, though, be it Kindle or the iPhone or anything else. The real change that we're working on the assumption of is that this is really about mobile computing, that there is a real separation potential between the applications and the content delivered to those applications. And, most excitingly, that there's real monetization happening in this space. So mobile computing, you've seen a lot of these statistics before. Some of them just I throw out as food for thought because it informs the way we see the change happening. Over the US, in the US, over a third of all AT&T Wi-Fi access is via a mobile phone. It's pretty amazing. And it's a pretty seismic change in how people use these personal handheld devices. High-end phone unit users are the heaviest of those, as you would expect. And the last point goes, it's sometimes overlooked, but I think it's important. This is not a utility in people's lives anymore. It is partly a utility, but this is an entertainment device. It's a connection. It's a sharing. It's very personal. And I think we can lose sight of how people think and feel about what they're doing over their mobile device if we're not careful. The separation of apps and content. The most stark presentation of this was a conversation I had with the Twitter guys about 3 weeks ago, where they said 2/3 of all Twitter users are doing it via an interface that Twitter never developed, touched, or had anything to do with. this open community and the ability for application developers to write to open APIs and separate the content from the underlying service and the application development itself is pretty exciting but also scary. So there's an app for that. There's an app for everything, but who built it is the question for us. And what does that mean as both an information provider and an application developer? So as a content licensor, this presents a whole host of opportunities and challenges. And then real monetization. I wanted to call out a report that Goldman Sachs released about 2 weeks ago, 12th of June. They're labelling content and app payments as the internet's new frontier. I'm sure Gordon will share more on this. But in particular, they're forecasting growth rates of 17% for online payments for applications and content over mobile applications, including Kindle, versus online advertising revenue slowing way down, 7%. So we could argue about whether it's 17, 19, 20, 22, whatever. The point is that this is an extremely fast-growing monetization opportunity that people are rightly very excited about. The graph down below, for those of you who can't read it, shows the monetization of YouTube in the dark blue, the iPhone App Store in the light blue, and the Kindle books in grey. And you can see there the outstripping of YouTube, which has an enormous customer reach and a real ubiquity in the way people consume video online versus the iPhone's App Store, and the monetization there is really critical. In fact, this report, Goldman were forecasting that that the iPhone App Store would add about 10% to iPhone's revenues, which is pretty extraordinary. And Kindle books as well, much more niche product and a much smaller reach in the marketplace. And from pretty much a standing start, looking at outstripping YouTube as well, according to this report. So some interesting data there. In terms of what we've done, we have begun by releasing applications, free-to-air applications or freely available applications over BlackBerry and iPhone. The predominant usage in our marketplace amongst our target audience is of the BlackBerry device, but increasingly the iPhone. And I think, John, we're going to talk about some of the differences we see there coming up. But we're presenting our news over these applications. We're experimenting heavily with different modes of consuming news. For example, iPhone users are a lot more multimedia savvy and visually oriented. And so in this particular experiment, this is an interface that allows you to browse the world's news right now by pictures first. So we're leading with pictures instead of news headlines. And if you've downloaded our application and played with it, it's a pretty engaging experience. It draws people in, really, and it's amazing what kind of summary you can get in an extremely efficient, time-efficient manner by consuming the news visually. We marketed these applications via public relations effort, advertising effort, and promotions in those stores, and within 6 weeks we had 80,000 downloads of the applications across both platforms. Interestingly, fairly evenly split between the iPhone and the BlackBerry, which is significant considering that the predominant usage in our target market is of the BlackBerry. So we're happy with that as a start point. I think the next phase is about extending those into subscription-based services that include higher value content that's more tied to people's work and decisions that they're making at work and their desktop tools. So that's a very brief summary of how we're thinking about the space and some of our recent activities. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alyssa. And it's exciting to see major media companies grasping these platforms and succeeding not just in the consumer environment, but in this prosumer space that straddles things. And I'm excited to hear that you're seeing about equal adaptation on iPhone and the BlackBerry. Does that tell you that in terms of that prosumer profile, that you're going to have to be straddling those platforms pretty consistently?
Yeah, and I think what it tells us is that right now many people are carrying multiple devices. They're carrying an enterprise delivered or an enterprise-provided BlackBerry device, and they're carrying an iPhone as well that they bought themselves or they bought for their family or they're using at home because people are really enjoying the experience of having it and of trying new things with it. So I'm sure you will relate to this, but the number of meetings you go to recently where you see people with multiple devices again, we're kind of back to that phase. I think we kind of went out of that for a few years, but I think we're back there now where people are carrying a couple of different devices.
I'm a witness to that.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say is that I think the app world is going to accelerate BlackBerry's presence in this place. We had our application out for a few weeks before it was in the app world, and we had very low downloads. As soon as it went into the app world, within about 2 weeks, we probably had about 30,000 downloads within about 2 weeks once it was in there. So I think BlackBerry might have been a little bit slow in this space, but they're certainly catching up fast, and there seems to be some significant adoption of the app world.
And what's your payment model?
Both of those are free-to-air for the time being, and the payment model will be an upsell model to premium services that exist on top of this.
Beyond the Book is an educational presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center, with conferences and seminars featuring leading authors and editors, publishing analysts, and information technology specialists. Beyond the Book is the premier source for knowledge on the latest business issues facing today's dynamic publishing industry, from initial research to final publication and beyond.